Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health briefs now. With us this week, emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Boomer. Good morning, Doc. Let's talk first about something I've been hearing about lately, and I wonder if you have. People getting ready for special events like weddings, and they want to lose a few pounds quickly, they're microdosing Ozempic. Have you heard about this?
I've heard about it. Yeah, it's I see why there's a drive to do it. It certainly it's less expensive. You can spread that dosing out over, you know, taking it every 2 weeks or taking a lower dose, and I can see why there's a push for it. But there aren't a lot of great studies to support it yet. So, but there are other benefits as well with microdosing in terms of, you know, less side effects. But I think that there's just not a lot of science behind it yet to support it. So, I see why there's a push to do it.
And it seems like every week we're reading about a side benefit of Ozempic. I saw a story the other day about these GLP-1 drugs possibly helping with Alzheimer's, osteoarthritis, and cancers. How much do we know about that?
So I think there's some promise for some. I think it's, I don't want to say it's a magic bullet for everybody out there, but I think there are some patients that definitely show benefit from it beyond the its intended effects for weight loss and for diabetes. So I think there's some studies that show it may have some anti-inflammatory effects. You know, some of its intended effects for weight loss and diabetes probably have some secondary benefits in terms of being able to give us a longer health, what they call the health span, right? That's the living longer in a healthy way or in good health. So I think that some of those secondary benefits, you know, probably if they are positive on the heart, as you mentioned, you know, positive on Alzheimer's disease. There are some observational studies that show that it can decrease in some diabetic patients the risk of Alzheimer's disease by 40% to 70%. Again, these are not randomized controlled trials. These are just sort of observations that they made in people that have been on the drug. But I think, you know, for a subset of folks out there, I think it could have some long-term benefits, and it may be sort of that, you know, that I hate to call it a fountain of youth, but it may give some folks may get, you know, some long-term benefits from it. Not everybody can tolerate it, unfortunately. We know there's a lot of side effects that, you know, some folks will suffer from, you know, nausea, you know, increased heart rate, constipation. It's pricey, so it's not affordable by everybody. Unless you're taking it for weight loss and you meet the criteria or for diabetes, you know, the most insurance companies aren't going to cover it, so it's an out-of-pocket cost. So over time, a lot of times, the prices come down, but for the time being, it's still expensive. And these other intended benefits beyond diabetes and weight loss are sort of off-label. But, you know, you're seeing some of these, what I think they're called gerotherapeutic intention, which means that these longevity clinics are prescribing them sort of as an intention to prolong the healthy life, the healthy lifespan. So, you know, more to come. I think we'll have to see some randomized trials to see if there is sort of this fountain of youth beyond just weight loss and diabetes. But there's some promise. But again, it's not for everybody. It's not going to be everybody's magic bullet going forward.
We haven't heard about too many problems with it. Not a lot of warnings, at least so far. Is that because they're just really starting to do the research?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been, I mean, they had all their trials prior to coming on the market. Now you're starting to see a lot of patients on it. So it's still relatively new. It's been out a few years now. So you're right. I mean, besides the side effects, we've not heard about any significant long-term detriments to taking it. So more to come there, but I think so far it's promising. I think it is an excellent opportunity for folks that are suffering from type 2 diabetes or have difficulty with weight loss. I think it could be an excellent opportunity for those patients to try this medication, because I think it can be helpful. But yeah, you're right, Bob. In terms of there being long-term detriments to taking it, we haven't heard too much about that, which is promising. So I think there's some estimates that, you know, I think by 2030, 15% of adults will be on it, and 30% of them will have tried it. So, I mean, you're going to see more and more of this as time goes on.
This week's Monday morning doctor's appointment is with emergency medicine physician for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bohmer. So many folks dealing with arthritis, doctor, as you know, and here's an interesting question. Is it hereditary?
So yes and no. So there are some forms of arthritis that are definitely hereditary. So, but there's some long story short, Bob, is that it really, what it boils down to is it's sort of, there are like so many other things in our lives. It depends on, you know, what we do with our lives and how we live our lives that may make us more likely to have arthritis and other than others. So the long story short, so I would say there are the four kind of arthritis that are probably most common: osteoarthritis, rheumatoid, ankylosing spondylitis, and gout. So osteoarthritis is probably the least genetic, although there is a genetic component to that. So that's the common, you know, sort of wear and tear as we get older, or our joints start to wear down. That's what osteoarthritis is. And they say that's probably between 40% and 65% genetic. But, you know, aging, as I mentioned, you know, overweight, injuries to the joint, those can make you more prone to that. Rheumatoid arthritis definitely is more genetic. So there's more of it. If you've got a primary relative, a mom or a dad, brother or sister, there probably is a genetic link there. But there are things that happen in our lives that can trigger it. So they think that certain types of infections may trigger our immune system to bring about rheumatoid arthritis. We know that smoking can make a person more likely to have rheumatoid arthritis. And then there's ankylosing spondylitis, which there is a specific gene that's related to that called the HLA-B27 gene. So that's about 90% genetic, but not everybody that has that gene actually gets the ankylosing spondylitis arthritis. So, and then another one that everyone, you know, hears about is gout. So gout has to do probably more with our diet and being overweight, but there are some genetic component such as that makes you more likely to produce uric acid in your body that we know can precipitate gout. So I think the long story short there, Bob, is that, you know, I think if you have that genetic predisposition, I think eating healthy, staying away from smoking, trying to maintain an active lifestyle, you know, keep moving, keep the weight off, those can make you less likely to develop arthritis of any kind.
We hear a lot about these anti-inflammatory foods. So diet does play a role in this, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, for sure. You know, try to stay away from, you know, processed foods, for instance. Those are, I mean, those have, as we know, have a lot of inflammation in them. So, you know, I think the Mediterranean diet is probably the perfect example of a diet to stick to. If you want to stay away from inflammation in your foods, get out, you know, look up the Mediterranean diet and stick with those kind of foods. You know, whole grains, high fiber, those are really going to help you, you know, obviously maintain a healthy weight, but also stay away from that inflammation that can trigger a lot of these types of arthritis.
Yeah, and don't judge on whether or not you have arthritis by how you feel when you first get up in the morning and move around a little bit first, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we kind of stiffen up, especially as we get older. We all stiffen up that, you know, first thing in the morning. But that's the concern, right? Is if that stiffness, that joint pain doesn't get better as the day goes on, that's where you want to get it checked out. And if you're having joint pain, you know, I think it's important to talk to your doctor about it. Get on a treatment plan. And, you know, figure out what type of arthritis you have, because there's obviously different treatments for the different types of arthritis. But, you know, talk to your doctor and get it, you know, get it checked out. And because early treatment can really, you know, slow the progression of any type of arthritis. So, but there are different, obviously, there's specific therapies for the different types of arthritis.
Mm. Talking about what you eat, I was talking to my daughter recently about working out and protein. And she said, Dad, you got to eat like within 30 minutes after you do weights or else you don't get any benefit. What does science say about timing eating and exercise?
Yeah, I think the bottom line is, you know, probably don't stress about the timing. As long as you're eating healthy throughout the day and getting good protein in every meal, I don't think it really matters as much. I don't think the research doesn't really show there's a lot of difference in terms of what you eat prior to a workout or after a workout. As long as you are, you know, I think eating really well, getting adequate protein, that means, you know, probably, you know, for a for a 150-pound person, that you're talking probably about, you know, 60 grams of protein in a 24-hour period. If you're eating that throughout the day, it probably means less. I mean, there is this, they call this anabolic window, an hour after you work out, especially doing weights, getting that protein into your body. But if you're doing that throughout the day, it probably doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, with slow and steady wins the race. It's true with almost so many things, and it applies here too, Bob.
Remind me to ask my daughter what medical school she went to. Everybody's an expert now, especially with the internet, right? It's got to drive you crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dr. Jeffrey Bohmer, Northwestern Medicine. Thanks, doctor. We'll talk to you again very soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.